وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show his choicest blessings on you. آمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness to Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our leader and master is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International, the Sahabi we'll be discussing now is Hazrat Suhaib ibn Sin'an Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was also from amongst those Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who had to bear many torments at the hands of the unbelievers during the initial stages of Islam. Ibn Abdul Bar rahmatullah alayh writes in Isti'ab, فَذَاعِنُ Suhaib وَسَلْمَان وَبِلَال وعمار وخباب والمقداد وابي ذر لا يحيط بها كتاب. The merits of Sayyidina Suhaib, Salman, Bilal, Ammar, Khabbab, Al-Miqdad and Abu Dhar radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in cannot be encompassed by a book. Together with possessing the qualities of virtue, piety, and good mannerisms, Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu possessed intelligence. He went to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was in Quba. A large tray of dates was placed in front of him. Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu's eyes were inflamed at the time, but he still ate the dates. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, O Suhaib, are you going to eat dates while your eyes are inflamed? He replied, I am not eating from that part of the eyes which is not inflamed. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a good laugh at hearing this reply. Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away in the year 38 Hijri and was buried in Manila Munawwara. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminate his grave. Now we discuss another Sahabi, Sayyidina Hazrat Zayd ibn Harith radiallahu ta'ala an. His name is Zayd. His kuniyat is Abu Usama and Hibbar Rasul, the beloved of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is his title. His father's name is Haritha and his mother is Su'da bint Tha'laba. While he was a child, his mother took him to her family's place. On the way, the highway robbers of the Banu Qain snatched the young boy from outside his tent, enslaved him, and brought him to the Ukaz market for sale. Hakim ibn Hizam bought him for 400 dirhams and presented him to his aunt, Ummul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. In this way, he was honored of being a slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a slavery which is better than thousands of freedoms, and for whom the kingdoms of the world can be sacrificed. A few members of the Banu Kalb tribe came for Hajj, and they recognized Hazrat Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. On their return, They informed his father. His father, together with his brother, came to Makkah Mukarramah, presented themselves before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, "O son of Abdullah, O you who console those who are distressed, O you who feed those, O you who feed those who are imprisoned, we request you to free our son, and we will be most grateful to you." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the choice to Hazrat Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He gave preference to the honor of remaining with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "You have taken the place of my father and mother." The father was astonished by this sincere loyalty and said in surprise, "O Zayd, how sad you are giving preference to slavery over freedom and over living with your family." He said, "Yes, I have seen such perfect qualities in this pure being that I cannot give preference to anyone over him." Hazrat Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu's unwavering loyalty ignited the ember of love which was embedded in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's heart. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took him to the Kaaba Sharif and announced, "Zayd is my son from today. I will inherit from him, and he will inherit from me." Consequently, he was popularly known as Zayd ibn Muhammad by all. After the arrival of Islam, he came to be known as Zayd ibn Haritha. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the mantle of prophethood, Hazrat Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu had the honor of pledging allegiance to him at the very beginning. He is the first among slaves to embrace Islam. He got married to Hazrat Ayman radiallahu ta'ala anha in Makkah Mukarramah, and Hazrat Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu was born to them. After the Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got him married to his paternal cousin, Hazrat Zainab bint Jahish radiallahu ta'ala anha. But this marriage did not last. Their genealogy and family incompatibility caused differences in their temperaments. Hazrat Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu complained of their incompatibility on several occasions to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he had no alternative but to divorce her. When her iddah, her waiting period after divorce, expired, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam proposed to her. She replied, "I cannot say anything until Allah ta'ala instructs me." Consequently, the following verse included her amongst the mothers of the believers. Allah ta'ala conveys it as follows: فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. When Zayd accomplished his purpose with that woman, we gave her to you in marriage. The quality of loyalty is the most prominent in the life of Zayd radiallahu ta'ala an. The pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most enjoyable objective and purpose of his life. He had absolute respect and admiration for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all his associates. He was martyred in the battle of Mutah in Jamad al-Ula in the 8th year of Hijri. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah do we belong, and to him is our return. Hazrat Sayyid Ibn Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala an is another sahabi we were going to be discussing today. His name is Abdullah. His kunyat is Abu Musa. His father is Qais, and his mother's name is Tayyiba. He's a very senior sahabi. He was a very good reader of the Quran and a great scholar and jurist. Abu Uthman Nahdi says, when Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala used to commence reading the Quran in Salah, we would wish he reads the entire Surah Al-Baqarah, which is a very long surah. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala also acknowledged his knowledge and merit. He was an ardent worshipper who kept fasting and performed optional fasts in abundance. His constant fasting had made him very thin, but whenever he was advised to take a break so that he could eat and drink, he would reply, How can I ever do that? It is the thin horses that surpass the others in a race. On one occasion, he assembled all those who had read the Quran. They numbered 300 people. He spoke of the greatness of the Quran before them and said, "It is this very Quran which can earn you rewards, and it can also be a burden to you. You should therefore follow the Quran and tread behind it. Do not allow the Quran to chase you. The person who treads behind the Quran, it will convey him to the gardens of paradise. As for the person whom he chases, it will drive him towards hell and drop him there." Glory be to Allah, subhanallah. What an inspirational talk. It deserves to be embossed in our hearts. He stood up to deliver a sermon on one occasion and said, "A righteous companion is better than solitude, but solitude is better than an evil companion. A righteous companion is like a perfumer. Even if you do not receive any perfume from him, your mind will be perfumed in his companionship. An evil companion is like a blacksmith. Your clothes may not get burnt by sitting near him, but you will not be able to save yourself from the smoke and the ash." Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away in the year 52 AH. Some historians say in the year 42 AH. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminate his grave. Now we speak about Sayyidina Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a very senior alim from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Can there be a greater accolade than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself acknowledging his knowledge and merit? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "A'lamu ummati bil halali wal haram Mu'adh ibn Jabal." The most knowledgeable person in my ummah with regard to the lawful and the prohibited, the halal and haram, is Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala an. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatched him as a governor of Yemen, he mounted him on his horse and personally walked with him for some distance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "O Mu'az, you may not find me here when you return. You may pass by my masjid and my grave." Or in hearing this, Hazrat Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu began crying over the possibility of separation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned his face towards Medina Munawwara and said, "The righteous and pious people are the closest to me, no matter who they are and where they are." A person said to him, "Teach me something." He said, "Will you accept what I say?" He replied, "I am extremely desirous of accepting whatever you say." He said, "Keep optional fast, perform salah, and also set aside the time to sleep. Earn a living, but do not commit sins. When you die, die as a Muslim. Be cautious of the curse of the oppressed person." Subhanallah, what excellent words of advice. He used to say to his brother, "When you perform salat, perform it as if it is the last salah of your life, and you will not get such an opportunity again." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a similar advice to a person who sought his advice. "When you stand up for salah, perform it as a person who is bidding farewell to this world." A person was going on a journey, so he came to Hazrat Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu to offer salam to him and to take leave from him. Hazrat Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "I give you two words of advice. If you remember them, you will be safeguarded. Listen, you cannot be entirely independent of the share of this world, but you are extremely in need of the share of the hereafter. You should therefore give preference to the share of the hereafter over the share of this world." He used to say, "You may have exercised patience over pains and calamities, but you will be tested and tried by the conferral of happiness and prosperity. I consider women to be the most terrifying tribulation when they will start wearing gold bangles and the glamorous garments of Sham and Yemen. They will cause a strain on the wealthy and demand such things from the poor which they do not have. When this happens, there will be no affection between husband and wife. This will cause general corruption. May Allah Ta'ala protect us all." He said the following words at the time of his death, "O Allah, I had been fearful of this moment most of the time, but now I am fully hopeful of it. O Allah, you know that I was not too desirous of living in this world, so that I could dig more canals and sow more seeds. Rather, I was desirous of living in it so that I could experience the thirst of the afternoon from the fields of jihad or in a state of fasting, bear the discomforts of remaining awake at night, and sit close to the ulama in the assemblies of dhikr. Subhanallah, his desire to live was for the sake of striving in Allah's cause and engaging in ibadat and worship, not for the fulfillment of desires and passions, as is the norm today. Sheikh Salih Rahmatullah Alayhi said, "My eating is to live, and my engaging in zikr. But you should think that living is solely for the sake. So life is not just about merrymaking in this world. It is meant for devotion to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala." He passed away in the 18th year of Hijri, in the plague of Amwas. He was approximately 38, some say 33 years old at the time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with nur. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.